The Phoenix Suns will find out later today if they'll have the top pick in June's NBA draft, and in the future, you may be able to bet on that kind of thing here in Arizona. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down a federal law that bans states from allowing sports betting. That means states can now set up programs for people to wager on sports. With me to talk about what that could look like in Arizona is Attorney General Mark Brnovich. And Mark, first off, is it your expectation that the state legislature will at some point make sports betting legal here?
You know, I can't predict what the legislature is going to do, but I do think that there will be a lot of interest in this. We know that the governor has expressed interest in maybe doing something along these lines. We know that in years past, there have been people at the legislature that have talked about either expanding gaming, you know, off tribal lands or looking at other possible revenue sources. And so I do think that this is another kind of arrow in the quiver of the state's arsenal as to how it can generate income without necessarily raising income taxes.
Do you have a sense? I mean, you were the state gaming director. Do you have a sense of how much money could be in play here?
You know, it really depends. You know, there's a lot of folks throughout a lot of different figures. And this is what we do know. The tribal gaming is a $2 billion with a B dollar industry here in Arizona. So there's a lot of money that's being made not only here in Arizona, but all over the country when it comes to gambling. But we also know in 2002, when Arizona voters approved the gaming compacts, they sent a strong message that they wanted gaming to be limited and well regulated. And so we know that historically, when you have gambling or increases in gaming in any community, there's a social cost attendant with it and associated with it. And so there's always that balancing act between, you know, trying to generate revenue and income, but also balancing the social costs. And so I do, without a doubt, knowing this as someone that prosecuted gambling crimes, has done, you know, presentations and training on investigating and prosecuting crimes and being the state gaming director, that people's attitudes towards gambling have changed dramatically, even in the last 10 years, 20 years. And so people don't associate gambling and gaming with evil necessarily anymore, or, you know, with a lot of social ills. And so I think because of that change, you will see people more likely and willing to say, yes, let's use a new form of gambling in order to generate revenue for the state.
Do the state's gaming compacts come into play here? I mean, if Arizona passes a law allowing sports betting, does it have to sort of fit within the framework of who is allowed to operate a casino and where and under what circumstances?
I guess the short answer would be probably, but it also, like many things, would depend on which lawyer you ask. In the past couple of years, when the Daily Fantasy Sports people have been at the legislature, they have argued that Arizona law permits, you know, daily fantasy sports because it was something that you could do, quote, you know, social gambling wise. So therefore, any changes wouldn't, you know, impact the compacts at all. Now, most people that are familiar with Indian gaming, the compacts, would say, no, that's probably not a correct interpretation. But there are people that have made that argument. Without a doubt, the state will have to sit down with tribal governments and make a decision as to, you know, whether they're going to open up the compacts and kind of the scope and the nature of gaming, including whether, you know, sports gambling's, you know, part of that. Because if the state, I think, you know, and I got to be careful because we may ask to be weigh in on this legally, but I'm guessing that if the state, the legislature just passed a law saying we're going to have sports gambling, at that point, at least one of the tribes, one of the tribal casinos would say that would invoke Section 3H of the compact, which is the so-called poison pill, which then would blow all the caps on gaming and types of gaming in the state. And so I think that's something that the policymakers wouldn't want to risk. That would be a huge gamble, so to speak.
Well, yeah, and as you said, I mean, you would probably weigh in on this at some point. I mean, you said, you know, ask a lawyer, you get a lot of different opinions. Your opinion is one that would probably hold a lot of weight here. Do you think it would matter if the sports betting, for example, were limited to the existing casinos as opposed to having new facilities or depending on how the state decided to regulate online sports betting, for example?
Once again, these are great questions, and they're really interesting because there is this whole menu of options, everything from, you know, opening up daily fantasy sports to having windows or kiosks where you can, you know, bet on, you know, baseball or football or basketball games, to, as you said, electronic gaming where you can get your mobile phone and your device and, you know, bet, you know, from the comfort of your living room as you're watching the Diamondbacks and, you know, betting on whether someone's going to hit a home run or, you know, what the final score, you know, would be. So technology has dramatically changed the gaming industry. And there are a lot of different ways that you can separate people from your money. And I do think that there will be a lot of different options presented. And so I think as a state, we need to have a very, very serious discussion as to what gaming will look like as we move forward. As I said, it's a $2 billion a year industry, and determining, you know, what the right mix is and whether that mix should be on tribal lands or whether it should be, you know, at other places. I mean, I know that there's other people that have made the argument or try to push the argument that the tribes have had exclusivity for a while and now maybe it's time to open up. But these are all discussions that need to be had, and they need to be had by policymakers in a very, very serious manner.
Assuming that Arizona ultimately does allow sports betting, and of course, depending on how it's implemented and where and all that, how does that change what you have to do and what your office has to do in terms of making sure that the rules are being followed and maybe to an extent making sure that the athletic events themselves aren't being compromised?
And that, once again, is an interesting question, because it really depends on what the nature and scope of it is. Because you have a Department of Gaming now with experienced folks that are used to, you know, for example, checking, you know, slot machines and video machines to make sure that they're paying out the percentage they have to pay out, to make sure the software hasn't been compromised. So there's a lot of things that go into making sure that you're losing your money fair and square at casinos. And so when it comes to sporting and athletic events, there's obviously a little bit of a difference because there's a human element, you know. And so we know that anytime you have humans involved and a lot of money involved, people can be compromised. But the flip side of that is, let us remember that, for example, when the latest point shaving scandal happened in Las Vegas in the 90s, when it involved, you know, my alma mater, Arizona State, that was discovered by the sports books. It was because the legal betting institutions saw anomalies with betting on Arizona State. So they knew something was wrong. So they took the game off the book and they started an investigation. So legal gambling does provide opportunities for the regulators to look at the games, to make sure there aren't those anomalies, and, you know, look through the tape and, you know, figure out if a player's tanking in the fourth quarter or something like that. So,
all right. That's Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Mark, thanks a lot for coming in.
Oh, always an honor.
Now, there are some states that appear to be ready to start taking sports bets. New Jersey, for example, says it could start within a few weeks. With me via Skype to talk about how the Supreme Court's ruling could impact the country as a whole is Dustin Gaucher. He's an editor and writer for LegalSportsReport.com, which covers the sports betting industry, among other things. And Dustin, first off to you, how significant is this ruling?
I think it's pretty significant. It's definitely going to change how we consume sports, I think. That's the biggest thing. We're going to be able to bet on sports legally in a number of states pretty quickly. Could be widespread in a matter of a few years, is a number of states. And we also even just have Congress already looking at a bill from Senator Orrin Hatch. So this is a big deal. The leagues, gaming industry, they're all kind of looking at this as a pretty big opportunity. So on the grand scheme of things, I think it is a pretty big deal.
How much money do you think ultimately we could be talking about here as far as how much people will be betting legally now on sports?
It's hard to forecast exactly how much. I mean, people have tried to take guesses. We know the offshore betting market is something like $50 to $150 billion in total wagers. Revenue is just a part of that, something like 5 to 10% of that number. But I think we're seeing, I mean, we're talking billions with a B in terms of revenue if we see states act to regulate wagering in terms of revenue, and then, you know, tens of billions to hundreds of billions of total wagers that are going to be placed in the United States. So that depends on a lot of variables, how many states legalize it, how they legalize it, whether they have mobile wagering. So yeah, there's a lot to still be hashed out, but it's a pretty big opportunity monetarily.
Well, do you think that given that states will be really looking to do this, and maybe economic interests might take over from, say, moral interests that might be just sort of morally opposed to gambling?
Yeah, I think we've seen that moral opposition kind of decline. I mean, once upon a time, you could only bet in Nevada and Las Vegas, and then there was Atlantic City. And now we kind of have casino gaming and racetracks and lotteries they're kind of everywhere now. It's not quite ubiquitous, but there's a lot of wagering that goes on in the United States. So, I mean, for somebody in a state, say, like Pennsylvania, which has actually more revenue than Nevada from gambling, they wouldn't say, hey, we're morally opposed to that. That's kind of an argument that's gone by the wayside. Now, certainly in more conservative states that don't have gambling, that's an argument. But I just don't see how states are going to say, oh, we can't do this because of moral obligations. It's that train's kind of left the station, I think.
Is this the kind of thing, do you think, that given the amount of money that could be at stake, that states will really feel pressure to get in on this as opposed to letting a neighboring state or some other state get it? You know, if you're in Arizona, for example, might there be pressure to not let people just drive over the border to California to place their sports bets? They should do it here so they get the revenue from it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a question of exactly how much revenue a state's going to get. I don't want to oversell how much it is. Like, the total wagering and total revenue is definitely a big number if you could lump a bunch of states. For an individual state, it might only be, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, possibly, depending on the state. But yeah, I'd say in states where you're looking to legalize it, you're looking at the states around you, whether you're doing it. That's what's happening in the Northeast, I think. The policy decisions that are coming up are the big thing. Like, we have a lot of stuff to do in a short amount of time. You know, people have been kind of preparing for this day, but now if you want to legalize wagering, states are going to have to really, you know, get down to brass tacks and decide what they want to do. And I hope the rush to do that doesn't result in bad policy. We see that a lot in government. So hopefully everybody kind of takes their time, comes up with good regulation and legislation, and we kind of get this right since we have the opportunity to do it.
What kinds of precautions will leagues have to put in place to, at the very least, make sure that the perception is that, you know, things are still on the up and up? How are leagues, do you think, going to react to this?
You know, the pro sports leagues are already doing this in both regulated and unregulated markets to some extent. They're already monitoring integrity and betting patterns, and they have relationships. They have data companies that monitor how betting patterns, and they can pretty easily flag if there's something dicey going on. So they're already used to this in doing it in other markets. So there's going to be more of it to do, certainly, once we regulate it in the United States. But there's no reason to think that I think that there's all of a sudden going to be this big change for them. There's already betting on their games. Let's not be there's definitely already betting going on their games. This increases the amount of betting that's going to go on their games. But we know that there's these concerns that they're going to have to spend a little bit more money for sure, that they're going to have to, you know, partner with casinos. They have to do things that will make sure everything's on the up and up. But I don't think it's anything drastically different from what they're already doing. And pro players, let's face it, make a lot of money. To try to manipulate a game is increasingly difficult to do right now. So
you mentioned the question of how states will allow this kind of betting. Is it right to assume that it will have to be in sort of a brick and mortar casino or, you know, off-track betting kind of place at first before states maybe move into an online or mobile app kind of betting environment?
Most of the bills we've seen already pop up, and we've seen something like, I think 20 states have bills already. I think almost all of them have had an online component. I think it would be kind of foolish to legalize sports betting and then not be able to compete with the offshore books. Pretty much everywhere is going to have it. Pennsylvania, West Virginia are states that have passed laws recently that allow for online wagering. And I think that's going to be the exception. That's going to be the rule.
All right, that's Dustin Gaunker with LegalSportsReport.com. Dustin, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.